All right. Well, good morning again. Our children, if they're heading to children's church, they can be dismissed at this time and head out and have some fun time with your teachers, and we'll see you in a bit. Teacher Chris asked me, she said, Brandon, you need to like go a little longer because I'm not getting through all my curriculum. So if I go long, it's because Teacher Chris asked me to do that today. No, today if we go long, it's because we're praying long. I let you know last week and the week before that today would be a prayer service. It's our quarterly prayer service. And we will be spending time in prayer together, in groups and in corporately together, and certainly in the Word. We're going to be in Psalm 60. If you would take your Bibles out and turn there, we'd love for you to do that. As you do, I want to give God some praise, which we just did, right? But amazing how amazing God is. Can I get an amen for that? Right, God is just life changing, and even today, I know some of you, many of you probably here today, are here, and you're like, my heart is heavy. It hurts, and I'm here, and we'll see what happens. And God's gonna do something. God's here to meet you, and to encourage you, and lift you up, and to build and grow your faith, and He will. And even just, I would encourage you also that you know, this last season that we've been in the Psalms, if you've missed something. If you missed a message, I would really encourage you to go back and pick that up and hear it. It's been an amazing season for me from the Lord's instruction from this text, and I know it has been for you as well. I mean, every week after the service is over, I'm having great conversations with folks who said, I came in with this heavy, heavy heart or burden, and man, I'm leaving feeling the love of God, and I'm feeling lighter and at peace with the Lord. And so that's an amazing thing that God provides for us. Amen. So I encourage you to lean into that as we study the text today, even as we pray today. It is our last psalm for the season, Psalm 60. Next week, we're going to head back to the harmony of the Gospels and just pick up with Jesus and what he's teaching and what he's doing as he heads towards the cross and what we can learn from that. But today, we'll finish up in Psalm chapter 60. Again, it's been a great ride looking at how to overcome fear with faith and how to cry out from the cave, right? The darkness, from the hardship, and cry out still, and make that hardship not a detour, but actually the sanctuary where we can meet God and worship God, and He meets us there. We saw last week how God sees us, right? God hears us, and God loves us. And this week, David is again giving us a psalm to ponder together, to pray together, and to sing together. And we're going to go through Psalm 60. Looking at how to pray through our difficulty. How to pray through our difficulty, okay? So let me pray, and then we will get to work in the Psalms. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here today. And God, for many of us, we came excited and ready to go and ready to worship and just with light hearts. But God, some came with heavy hearts and burdens, whether it be in their own personal lives or whether it be physical or emotional or spiritual, or whether it be in the lives of those close to them. So God, we know that we come from different places, but we come to the same place in the same person for the same thing. We come for more of you. We come for your word, God, that will change us, God, that's living and active. We come to have prayer and to offer prayer. We come to sing and to be sung to, God, to be encouraged. We come because there's hope only in Jesus. So help us now to soften our hearts and open our hearts. God, to be receptive to what you're going to do, to what you're going to teach, to how you're going to heal and restore, and how you're mighty to save. We love you. We offer you all the praise, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get too far into it, I want to just ask those who are being baptized today, if you would, after the service is over, come up and meet with me briefly. I just want to be on the same page about that. And again, if you are not one of those that you know is like on the list, but you're still like, I've been wanting to do that and I've been resisting that, if you'd like to still be baptized today, you can come up and talk to me after the service as well. All right, Psalm 60. Let's get there together. I'll read the whole text and then we'll start to be taught from it. For the choir director, according to the Lily of Testimony, a mitkam of David for teaching. When he fought with Aram Naharim and Aram Zobah, and Joab returned and struck Edom in Salt Valley, killing 12,000. God, you have rejected us You have broken us down. You have been angry. Restore us. You have shaken the land and split it open. Heal its fissures, for it shudders. You have made your people suffer hardship. You have given us wine to drink that we may stagger, or made us stagger. And you have given a signal flag, though, to those who fear you, so they can flee before the archers. Selah. Save with your right hand. Answer me, so that those you love may be rescued. God has spoken in his sanctuary. I will celebrate. I will divide up Shechem and apportion the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, and Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. I throw my sandal on Edom. I shout in triumph over Philistia. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? God, haven't you rejected us? God, you do not march out with our armies. Give us aid against the foe, for human help is worthless. With God we will perform valiantly. He will trample our foes. This is the word of the Lord. As we looked at the text today, it's another one of those interesting ones that David gives us to learn from. And I want to look at a little bit of the background that's mentioned here. It comes from 2 Samuel 8 and 2 Samuel 10 and 1 Chronicles 19. We'll look at a little bit of that. Just to kind of, I think, help us with the context of what's happening here, why are things so bad, and what has happened. So I'm going to read from 2 Samuel chapter 8, and you can just listen as I read there. Beginning at verse 13. David, now who is king, by the way, not being chased by Saul anymore, made a reputation for himself when he returned from striking down 8,000 Edomites in Salt Valley. He placed garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites were subject to David. The Lord made David victorious wherever he went. So here we have David, the man after God's own heart, following the Lord, and the Lord giving him victory over the enemies of him and God. And then it says in verse 15, so David reigned over all Israel, administering justice and righteousness for all his people. I love that. As I read the background of this, and I'm like thinking, what's going on? I read this, and I'm like, it seems like life is good. It seems like David's just doing great. Things are awesome. Everything's going wonderful. It's good, right? Well, you fast forward a little bit. In 2 Samuel 10, it says, sometime later, the king of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun became king in his place. Then David said, because life is good, right? David said, hey, I'm going to show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, rather, just as his father has shown kindness to me. See, life's good. David wants to show respect and kindness. He's like, this is a great thing to do, right? So David sent his emissaries to console Hanun concerning his father. However, when they arrived in the land of the Ammonite leaders said to Hanun, their lord, just because David has sent men with condolences for you, do you really believe he's showing respect for your father? Instead, hasn't David sent his emissaries in order to scout out the city, spy on it, and demolish it? So it is kind act, right? David's like, I want to show kindness and support and love. Things are, life is good. And we have this, we're doing what we need to do. And then they take it and twist it into some conspiracy theory. And they bash David and his emissaries. And it says, it goes on, Hanun took David's emissaries, shaved off half their beards, cut their clothes in half at the hips, and sent them away. Not a way to get on David's good side, by the way. When this was reported to David, he sent someone to meet them. And since they were deeply humiliated, he said, stay in Jericho until your beards grow back, and then return. When the Ammonites realized they had become repulsive to David, they'd done something like, they hired 20,000 foot soldiers from the Arameans. These are the kings that are mentioned in the superscript here before the psalm. These are the kings of the Arameans. So we're going to band together because now David's angry. Why? Because you shaved off his men's beards and didn't care about the kindness he was showing to you. I think the context for me as I looked at this, I just saw more of what we've looked at already. And I felt my own heart in many ways. Like, you know, think about this context. There can be times in your life you're like, I'm being obedient. I love the Lord. I love people. I'm staying on the straight and narrow. I'm doing what I can to be friendly or be kind. And it seems like God is there. I know he's there and he's real. But in all of that, I'm trying to do good. It just seems like the weights just keep coming down and the burdens just keep piling on, and I get to that point where it's like, I can't catch a what? a break. I think that's what David's feeling. David's like, I'm following the Lord, I'm doing, and he's given us success, but there's still these people who want to come against. And these circumstances rise up, and these people rise up, and these armies rise up, and these scenarios rise up, and we just feel like we cannot catch a break. And so he writes this psalm, he pens this psalm, and David, more vocal than most of us, because we have a lot of that, right? He pens this psalm for us, though, as well, not only for him and his congregation of Israel, but for us to sing it as well. And in the middle of our difficulties, in the middle of our burdens, and whether you're here and you're like, man, it seems like life should be going good, everything is going right, but man, there's so much pressure against me, and everything seems to go wrong, even though I'm obeying. Or maybe you're here, it's like, I don't obey very much, and it's not going very well for me, but I need, you're here too. We're still here for the same God to do the same thing in each other. And so David gives us this context, and he gives us this model of a prayer, a congregational prayer, through difficulty. And he says it at the beginning in the superscript. He says, it's for the choir director, according to the Lily of Testimony, another song. And he says, it's a mikkam of David for teaching, that it should be taught. And here's a scenario that what happened. So it should be taught. And then a psalm is not only taught, but it's then prayed. And then a psalm should be a song. It should be sung, right? That's the model we're going to follow today. We're going to be taught, and we're going to pray, and we're going to sing. Number one, if we're going to pray through difficulty, what do we pray? We should pray for healing and restoration. We pray for that. And from the only one it can come from is God. Go back to Psalm 60, verses 1 through 4. God, you have rejected us. It feels that way, right? You've broken us down. You've become angry. What does he cry out? He says, restore us. You've shaken the land and split it open. Heal its fissures, for it shudders. You guys think about the land now, the world? It seems like it's pretty broken, right? Fissures are split. Needs healing. God, you made people suffer hardship. You've given us wine to drink that made us stagger. And as David pens this, he knows that although he may be able to say, I'm righteous and I haven't done any wrong, there are plenty of those in Israel who are still rebelling against the Lord, and there's the discipline of the Lord is on them. So he sees that. And then in verse 4, he kind of talks about this remnant who's still faithful. He says, you've given a signal flag, though, to those who fear you. Right? This remnant who's still being faithful. He'll give us a signal flag so that we can flee the archers. That although it's going to affect us, and the discipline of the Lord might be on somebody else, it's still going to be affecting us because we're in proximity. He's still going to be there to rescue. And the verse says, Selah, that's let this sink in. Those who fear the Lord, God's faithfulness is sure to his remnant. And we should ponder that. We should let that sink in. Again, we are not only affected by our sin, right? We're affected by the sin of those around us. Scripture says that a companion of fools will suffer harm. You might not even become a fool, but if you're around foolish people, you're going to suffer harm. And if we're around sinful people, we're going to see the effects of that. And if we are sinful people, we are going to be disciplined by the Lord as well. But we should want to return in humility our hearts to the Lord. Hosea 6:1 says, come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us, and he will heal us. He has wounded us, and he will bind up our wounds. Whatever we're suffering, whatever we're struggling, whatever has come upon us in the Lord's discipline because of our rebellion or vicariously through someone else's rebellion, we cry out to the Lord for he to heal us and for him to bind up our wounds. A famous verse is used often is one from 2 Chronicles 7. I'm going to use it today. God says, if I shut up the sky and there is no rain, or if I command the grasshopper to consume the land, or if I send pestilence on my people, and my people who bear my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land.
God.
That's what God's ready to do. It's amazing to me how long it takes sometimes for God to get my attention. And I think about that as a parent. If you're a parent, it's like, I wish I had the attention of my children sooner, right? And God's like, yeah, I wish I had your attention sooner. Talking to you and me as adults, right? Grown people. God wants your attention, but he wants your heart. So once he has your heart, he can forgive your sin and heal you. That's what he's looking to do. So the attitude of our hearts must be one of humility. Not of pride, not of ego, but of humility. with a desire for restoration and for healing. So here's our first segment of prayer. We're going to just break up into where you are, into groups of 5 to 8 people. Face each other, turn around in your chairs a little bit. And listen, I say this every time we have a prayer service. I'm not going to make anybody pray out loud. But I know somebody will pray out loud because God's going to put that on their heart. And so just in a small group, I'd like you to share out loud. I don't want you to share the long story. I want you to share the short of it. And if there's a way that you're looking, man, I need some restoration. I need healing, whether it be emotional, physical, spiritual, all of the above. Just share like, and maybe it's this. I'm just struggling. Just say that. And when people have shared, just spend some time praying. You can pray silently right in that little group. Someone can pray out loud in that group and pray. Don't worry about who's around you. Let this be a time. You've come here broken or hurting, and you've come thinking, God can meet me here. Let him do that as we pray together, as we seek together restoration and healing. So the next slide should show us what we're going to do next as you turn around. Pray in groups, sharing needs for. Oh, I'm glad I finished that line for you. I said, whatever you're hurting in. Whatever that is, that season, it's just, and you could just say, I'm just struggling, all right? Let's spend some time praying together. Go ahead.
When, as David writes this, there's a prayer through the difficulty. Number two, we celebrate our salvation.
And so this next section, as we celebrate our salvation, it's verses 5-8. It says, save, he cries out, save with your right hand and answer me so that those you love may be rescued. God, save. You're mighty to save. It's your right hand that accomplishes that. God has spoken in his sanctuary. Here's the response, the promise from God. He says, I will celebrate, I will divide up Shechem, I will apportion the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter. It's interesting that God looks at Israel that's shaken and split and disunited, and says, I'm going to take that. I'm going to bind them together. My salvation is not just for that little clan or that little clan or that little tribe or that little church or this little church. I'm going to bring them together. I am their God. And if they would come under me, I will be theirs. And they will be united as one in his salvation. It's an amazing promise that David's saying here, that all of these divisions are going to be gone, that the Lord is mighty to save. And the prayer of the Lord Jesus is that we would also be one as he and the Father are one, that we would be united because of our faith in Christ, our mutual faith in Christ. So we're going to celebrate, God, you are mighty to save, that you're mighty to draw us together. And I really want us to understand, you know, we today in this age, we have so many different churches around, and some of those churches are not teaching the gospel, and but many are, right? And for those that are, we don't need to be thinking like, well, you know, the Lord is with me. Think about these tribes. They're all scattered about in the east, west, north, and south. And they're like, well, God's with us. He's with our tribe. What does that mean? What are you then saying? That he's not with them? I don't think that's fair, is it? God ought to be with those who trust in him and the righteous who put their faith in him. But if that's them too, then he's with them as well. And God says, I'm going to bind them all together. They're going to be one with me, but he is the Lord. It's not an us and a them when it comes to those who trust in Christ. It's all of us as one under the one mighty hand of our Savior. So when we pray celebrating our sure salvation. 1 Peter 3:8-12. Finally, all of you be like-minded and sympathetic. Love one another and be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing, since you were called for this, so that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who wants to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do what is good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do what is evil. So our desire should be that when we come humbly, finding restoration, finding healing, finding salvation, that we would entrust ourselves to his salvation, and that we would be kind and compassionate, loving one another, being united in Christ under the banner of Jesus Christ, and the eyes of the Lord would be on the righteous. Now as we go into our time of corporate prayer, not just group prayer, but corporate prayer, we're going to stay where we are, and I'm just going to ask someone to pray over something. I'll have a slide up on the screen, and then just if someone would pray out loud for that, pray from the heart regarding that, then we'll move on to the next one, and then we'll finally close this up. So a couple people here. First one, if someone could pray just thanking God for his mercy. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful to you for your mighty, mighty hand of salvation. God, we surrender our will, and God, we humble ourselves before you. God, continue to help us be mindful of who you are, and that we need you more and more every day. God, humble our hearts with one another. Unite us under the banner that is of Christ, that we would be united in him for his kingdom and for his glory. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We have heard the scriptures, and we have been taught, and we have prayed. Let's stand together and sing before we go into our last section. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Our last little section here before we close up for the day, number three. So as we see us praying through difficulty, we see seeking healing and restoration that only comes from the Lord. We see us celebrating our sure salvation in Christ alone, who unites us under and in the blood of Jesus through faith in him. And finally, we pray through difficulty, confessing our weakness and desiring to walk and live by faith in him. That's so essential, isn't it? The burdens we've shared today, the things we've been praying about, are not things that we can solve on our own in our own strength. If you look back to the text of Psalm 60, verses 9 through 12, questions asked, who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? God, haven't you rejected us? God, you do not march out with our armies. Give us aid against our foe. So he's like, I can't do this on my own. We need help. And the next part he says, for human help is what? Worthless or useless. Human strength is worthless. It's God who we need. It's in verse 12 he says, with God we can perform valiantly. He will trample our foes. It is God that we need. And the goal, you know, is to have life be good and we're all doing okay. We cannot be all good doing okay without the Lord. We cannot perform valiantly. And performing valiantly, what that means is that we are trusting in the utmost in Jesus. That everything that he offers, all the strength that he has, can be ours, and we're trusting in him. We are not trusting on human strength. It is not by our own ability, but is by his. And then we are encouraged to walk by faith. And when we walk by faith, we should preach that to ourselves. We should sing it to ourselves. We should sing it to one another, that in the difficulties of life, he is our hope, that he is our rest, and we can trust in him. Psalm 62, and this will be next year, next summer. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Selah. Let that sink in, that he is our refuge and our strength. So this last time of prayer, we're going to pray that, and then we're going to sing that. Amen? Here, we're going to pray. Let's, you guys ready? I need someone to pray, confessing our deep need for the Lord's strength. Let's pray. Father, we're amazed at who you are and what you can accomplish. But God, I'm also amazed at what I try to do on my own. God, humble me and humble us. That God, in our difficulties, in our trials, in times of temptation or testing, that we would humble our hearts and rest in you. That you would be our strength because you are the strength we need. And God, that our hope would be in you and our trust would be in you because God, you are faithful. Grow us, Lord. Help us know you more and more every day for who you are and for what you promised. And that God, our desire would be to walk in faith and in faithfulness to you. God, we thank you that while we may not know the future, we know who holds the future. Amen. And we know who walks with us. Remind us of that. We thank you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand one more time and finish out with one more song of worship. Let it soak in and sink in. And then following our service, if those, again, who are being baptized would come meet me up front. Let's sing.